You know what, this morning as we gather as God's people and we celebrate this morning both our national citizenship as well as our heavenly citizenship this morning. And this morning I want to celebrate both of those without minimizing the blessing of the other. Both citizenships have been secured by blood. Both citizenships required the loss of life. And both citizenships resulted in freedom. As Americans, temporary freedom on this earth, granted to us by God and secured by those who, and I quote, held these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And this special freedom we share, while sadly not experienced by many of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, it is our freedom. It is our reality because of the unselfishness of many who have loved this truth and gave their lives to defend it. And so this Memorial Day, we remember them with great thankfulness. We also celebrate our citizenship in heaven. As Christians, our heavenly citizenship was secured by our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, laying down his life, resulting in eternal freedom, experienced at the moment that one embraces Christ as their Lord and Savior, and is enjoyed for all of eternity. You know, sadly, in America, everything is very polarized, especially as we come to an election year, especially the area within the church in seeking to find a proper balance in love and loyalty to God and to country. On the one side, we have what is known as Christian nationalism, which labors to bring the kingdom of God through human political means, neglecting the truth that Jesus is the one who is King of all kings, and no national or partisan platform fully conforms to or reflects the fullness of the kingdom of God, and therefore the futility of Christian nationalism. On the other side, though, there exists a lack of respect, a lack of appreciation and patriotic love for our nations and those who have and continue to bravely serve in the armed forces and in positions of authority. I believe in a recent document by the EFCA, the denomination we're a part of, in writing on this, I felt they hit a very healthy balance. In our document called Denials and Affirmations, they said this: "We are not Christian nationalists who believe the federal government should declare the United States a Christian nation, or who believe that Americans are God's chosen people. But we do believe that a patriotic love of one's nation is appropriate, and that Christians should be good citizens who may freely advocate for God-honoring public policies. As Christians, our heavenly citizenship, which demands our greatest loyalty and our greatest commitment, is that what informs and influences our earthly citizenship here in America. And so long as our earthly laws don't call us to violate our heavenly laws, we are required, we are mandated in the scripture to submit and obey them. This morning, as we turn our hearts to the word of God, this Memorial Day, as Rich read from John chapter 15, he read these words coming from the lips of Jesus, so appropriate for today. "Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends." While Jesus was certainly referring to the laying down of his life, he knew fully well that before his earthly ministry and after his earthly ministry, many would express the same ultimate act of sacrifice. Certainly not on par with our Savior, but the laying down of their lives for others. This morning, I want to present some of the similarities and the differences between each sacrifice without minimizing the other. And at the same time, wanting to honor those who have laid down their lives for us. A couple of points I want to bring out. The number one is this one, that there is, that we want to look at the motivation of sacrifice. What motivated the sacrifice? For the many brave men and women who have paid the price of our freedom with their lives, they did it out of duty and commitment to our country. They did it out of love for America and all that it embodies. Not so much love for Americans, while I'm sure some of them loved the Americans that they knew, they certainly didn't know all of them. Certainly not the ones that were before them or those who would follow them. But they loved the idea of freedom. They loved the idea of the opportunity that this country provides. They were men and women of honor, of duty, and patriotism. In contrast, Jesus' sacrifice was motivated by love for each of us as individuals. Jesus' commitment is not to a country, but a people that has no borders. It is not defined by race or politics or gender, but a people made up of every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. It was to this people Jesus came, and it was to this people that Jesus willingly gave up his life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Christianity is not a nationality confined to a geographic location, but extends to all borders. It invites all people, and the love of Christ is extended to all. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Secondly, we consider the frequency of sacrifice. For our many men and women who have laid down their lives, we recognize it was not a one and done sacrifice. Obviously, for them it was. But many before them and many after them have and will continue to pay that ultimate price to secure our freedom as Americans. This is a reality that all of our brave servants in the armed forces embraces. And that is why they deserve our highest respect and appreciation. There was no one death that secured our national freedom in our nation. And therefore, many have, and many will continue to die to ensure it. But not so with our Savior. Not so with the sacrifice of Christ. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10. He says, "We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." The writer of Hebrews is pointing back to the Old Testament, where year after year the priest would come and they would slaughter sacrifices. There would be blood everywhere. It would be gruesome. It was necessary. But it pointed to the one who would come, who in the person of himself would provide himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And his sacrifice and his sacrifice alone is all sufficient to secure our right standing before God. The writer of Hebrews continues, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." What Christ did in time took place over time. That one sacrifice covers it all. And because of that, as Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 36, "So the Son, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed." We have the freedom in Christ because of the sacrifice of the Lamb. Thirdly, I want to consider the outcome of the sacrifice. The sacrifice of our brave armed forces secured peace from our enemies abroad. And there have been many. For Jesus, it was to secure our peace with God, to whom we were enemies because of our sin. Listen, for the person who is not a Christian, his biggest enemy is not the devil, but God himself. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." The sacrifice of Jesus saved us from the wrath of God that was rightly directed to us because of our sin. But then what he did was he redirected that wrath that was directed towards us upon his Son. And we who are under the wrath of God because of the work of Christ applied to our life find right standing in God, reconciled because of what Christ did for us on the cross. Isaiah writes, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God." How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from God, there is no peace with God. Apart from Jesus, there is no peace with God. We remain the enemies of God. But Christ has reconciled us to himself, making us the family of God. Colossians chapter 1 says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell," speaking of Jesus, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross, the means of our salvation." Which is why we read in John 3:36, "Whoever believes in the Son shall have life, but he who does not believe in the Son shall not have life, but the wrath of God abides," continues upon him. And so we recognize that the outcome of the sacrifice of Christ is he turned our ultimate enemy, God himself, into our Father and our Savior in Christ Jesus our Lord. We see the motivation of sacrifice. We see the frequency of sacrifice, the outcome of sacrifice. And what about the duration of sacrifice? What is the shelf life? How long does this sacrifice continue? How long does it last? While the sacrifice of so many has been enjoyed by Americans for the past 248 years that we have been a nation, that freedom will continue until we, like so many nations before us, either cease to exist or our freedoms are lost. However, our heavenly citizenship, secured once and for all by the sacrifice of Christ, has purchased for us an eternal freedom with no expiration date and no foe who has the power to reverse it. A place where Christ will continue to rule and reign for all of eternity. That is why our priority is our heavenly citizenship, for it is the destination of all who embrace Christ. What could be more important than avoiding eternal separation from God in hell, securing our place in heaven? What could be more important than that? Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" Which brings us to our final point, the recipients of sacrifice. The recipients of their sacrifice. As Americans, we're born into this freedom just by way of our citizenship. Being born in America is what makes you an American automatically, or at least the legal pursuit of citizenship, which is another whole conversation, right? But for most Americans, our freedom was something we were born into. Not so with our heavenly citizenship. It doesn't matter where you were born or who you were born to. It matters not who you know or how much you know. It matters not how much you have. It matters how good you, it matters not how good you are. The only way to be a citizen of heaven is by embracing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Recognizing that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, turning from your sins and placing all of your trust in Christ and Christ alone as the only means of our salvation. Apart from that, there is no freedom for all eternity. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Luke writes in Acts, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which man might be saved, but the Lord, but in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. There is only one way. Paul writes to the church of Rome, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everything that is necessary has been provided for us by the person of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ. Let us not settle for a temporary freedom when we have a freedom available to us secured by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is our ultimate freedom. That is what is most important for us as believers. That is what is most important for us as humans, as we consider what it means to be a believer. When we consider what it means to put our trust in Jesus Christ alone, the scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every one of us. The scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has provided for us freedom in Jesus Christ. Freedom now from the bondage of sin, and freedom for all of eternity. You see, the reality is for every American who is born in this national temporary freedom, they are still born in the bondage of sin in need of a Savior. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so this Memorial Day, as we pause and consider those who laid down their lives so we can enjoy the freedom that we have as American citizens, may we not lose sight of the one and the only one who laid down his life in such a way that it secures eternal freedom, reconciliation back to God, and eternity secured in Christ and Christ alone. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you for this day that we live in. We thank you for the freedoms that we have as Americans, and we are grateful for the many lives that have been laid down for us to enjoy the freedoms that we have as Americans. But Lord, as we direct our attention onto weightier considerations, we think of eternity. We think of this idea of forever, a place where we can't possibly even fathom in our minds thinking, and yet we were created with eternity stamped on our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that you so loved us, that you sent your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in you would not perish separated from you, but would spend all of eternity in heaven with you as your people. Lord, I thank you for stepping into my life, for forgiving me of my sin, paying the price for my sin, and redeeming me. Thank you for the many here that you stepped into their story and you took that which was dead and made it alive again. But I pray, Father, if there's anybody here this morning that has not secured their eternal freedom, that they have not recognized their need for a Savior, I pray, Lord, that today they would not leave this place without getting right with you. The scripture says today is the day of salvation, for none of us are promised tomorrow. And Lord, may we secure for ourselves today what will last for all of eternity. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and that's you, and you know, you say, I'm just not sure of where my eternal destination is going to be. I'm not sure that if my heart were to stop beating right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I'm going to encourage you and remind you that you don't have to wonder. Christ came for you. Christ died for you. And Christ loves you. We have a prayer tent set up over here, and there's going to be some folks there. And if you just want to get right with God this morning, I want to encourage you, before you make your way over for a hamburger and a hot dog and some fellowship, get right with God. Because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen? God bless you. Let's stand together and let's continue to worship God.